maybe you saw last week, there's been a lot of bad news. It's constant and it seems to be increasing. But maybe you saw last week, three teenagers driving recklessly on purpose. They recorded it all. You see them swerve into another car on purpose. They may have even hit it, almost ran them off the road. And then they see these teenagers in this car, because they're recording it all themselves. You see them. They see a man on a bicycle, and they start to laugh. And their intention is to run down 64-year-old man on his bicycle. And they're laughing as they did, and it was with the intention to kill him, and they did kill him. Earlier, they hit a 72-year-old on a bicycle. They had failed to kill him. So this was their second go at it. And they were bragging about the incident to their classmates, and they were sharing the video. And someone snitched. Police came to the school, the 17-year-old. This gives you an idea of the corruption and the coldness and that we're in. And the 17-year-old said to the police, "I'll be out in 30 days." Shocking. Shocking crimes like this are a dime a dozen, it seems, isn't it? It's almost not shocking. There's so many. But it's not new. It's always been here from the beginning. Lying in the heart of every man. It's just maybe that the restraints are being removed. Maybe the restraints are being removed a little more so that the sinful heart can have vent and have free rein, and so we see it expressed more greatly. That's the truth. The truth is, it's in the heart of every man. It was in the heart of these young people, but evil is in the heart of every man, woman, and child. And when we see those things, yes, we're aghast and we're shocked, and we hate them. We hate to see these things, and we may even hate these people, but we have to look within, right? This is something that is systemic to men. Daily crimes of hate, terror, war, murder, man against man are the product of a sinful heart, polluted nature, depraved nature. And these sinful acts like this are a kind of window by which we can look into and see that what every man is capable of if his sinful heart were allowed to roam unrestrained. This is a problem of sin. This is a problem of the sinful nature, and it's finding expression more and more. It's as I said, it's being allowed to vent. The boundaries are being removed. The restraints are being taken away, and it will erupt more and more. And society doesn't see the real problem. It's a problem of the sinful nature. It's a problem of man rebelling against God, rebelling against God from the garden, and still doing so. And sinful rebellion from the heart, that's the problem. And our society cannot understand it. It cannot be understood, sin or evil or the trouble we see in the world cannot be understood apart from this understanding of the sinful nature. And it cannot be truly dealt with apart from this knowledge, the true origin and the true nature of sin. Otherwise, the things society does to deal with it are often only cover it up. I've called it, right, the fig leaf solution. The fig leaf solution. They just mask the problem. It's still there. It's still the problem. In fact, it's growing, and they just cover it up. And when they mask the problem or they don't acknowledge the real problem, you can't find the real solution. And so society doesn't go to God for help. It doesn't acknowledge the underlying problem of sinful nature of lawlessness from the heart toward God, and it can't. It can't. Because every single man has the sinful nature. And not one man can himself change that, much less in himself recognize it. So unless we realize that this is a God relation issue and a nature issue systemic to the human race, and I think that's the first time I've used that. I mean, I mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to start using that because we love that word lately, don't we? Systemic. The only thing systemic to the human race is the sinful nature. And we all have it, right? That's not systemic to a color. That is systemic to every man. And it's systemic to absolutely all without exceptions, except Jesus Christ, the man. Now, unless we realize that this is a God relation issue and the nature issue, we're all going to do, all we're going to do, all mankind is going to do, and society and the sages and the brilliant ones, all they're going to do is search for answers, often to personal acts, search for answers to evil expressions in the world or whatever we're now calling them, which is tending further and further away from the biblical perspective. In fact, I was mentioning in Sunday school, we're not even calling them sin anymore. I don't even know if we're calling them evil anymore. And matter of fact, if you watch modern programming and modern movies, even the evil are not evil. They're just misguided. And we have to feel for the evil. And so there's the good are not good and the evil are not evil. It's just a society tending further and further away from the biblical perspective. It used to be personal responsibility, and the thing we're trying to do just recently even was to look deeper than the sinful acts or the evil in the world. Because you used to be able to say, well, at least people would acknowledge sin. And they would say, sinful acts, adultery, we agree with that. Sinful acts, murder, we agree with that. Now it's harder and harder. Sometimes we can't agree with that. No one wants to acknowledge sin. No one wants to acknowledge evil. No one wants to take personal responsibility. We'll look at all the circumstances surrounding the incident. We'll blame the environment. We'll blame the upbringing. We'll say it's a failure of education, right? So what do we need to do? We just need better education and more money to throw at it. We'll talk about social injustices, social inequity, intersectionality, racism, bigotism, sexism, transphobism, but never personal responsibility, never my sin, and never the sinful nature. We'll investigate what is medically wrong. There must be something medically wrong with these young teenagers to do what they've done, right? But they'll say, what is missing? What's their chemical imbalance? We'll diagnose what medication can control this behavior. We'll theorize what is psychologically wrong, and we'll talk more and more about mental health. I've heard more about mental health in the last 5 years than I care to talk about. Something, mental health, something no man can ever really understand. For the heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked, who can know it? That's what God says about mental health. But in our ever so bold blindness, we'll confidently assert that we can. We'll throw billions and billions of dollars into endless studies. Politicians will hold hearings. Legislation will be multiplied to prevent things like this from ever happening again. And all they do is happen again and worse and worse. That the problem is the sinful heart. And it will explode. It will find a way, no matter what the external restraints, even if with this external restraints, even if you put every person in their individual cubicle their whole life, they will still be sinful. Now, and by the way, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do studies. I'm not saying don't restrain. By all means, restrain, okay? We need restraints. We need, I believe in legislating morality. I do. I'm saying understand that that's not the source of the problem. Understand the source. Reject the fig leaf solution, ultimately. Especially the church, talking to the church. Otherwise, it's ultimately a band-aid. And man's solutions cannot just be outward. Or they're just external pressures made to suppress or cover up the seething, sinful heart. We're failing to see the heart of the issue. The sinful heart. The sinful mind. The ruined nature of man. Total depravity. It will affect society, but to ignore it or miss it is to miss pleasing God, and it's to miss the hope of the salvation of man. To study the depravity of man's nature is then so crucial to us. And I'm just going to very short begin it here. It's so crucial to us. It is a foundational study. When I went to seminary, even before seminary, matter of fact, before I was a seminary in college, I did an independent study at a secular university, Albany State University. I asked if I could do an independent study to finish up my coursework, and my independent study was on original sin. And I came up with the course study, and I did it, and they let me do it. But I knew how important this was. This affects every other doctrine you believe. If you get this wrong, everything is wrong. Build an improper foundation and the house will not stand. Get this wrong, it's all wrong. See your worldview incorrectly here, and you'll see all things incorrectly. Say it again. You get this wrong, you'll get all things wrong. So just by way of an introduction, what I think you're actually very familiar with, is I put my Bible under here. I need to do that. Put something else under there. Gotta prop this up because I get the reflection in the. I can't see. But maybe turn to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Mainly Genesis 3. We look at this together. We're going to look at the origin of sin and the nature of sin. We'll just look at the origin of sin. And I think we're pretty familiar with this, but let us remind ourselves a little bit of this. I'm going to talk about sin entering, what sin consisted of, what sin comprised, and sin's result, the result of sin. Well, we know sin entered the world through the transgression of Adam and Eve. We take that for granted. Tell the world, okay? They don't believe that. Doesn't matter. They think you're crazy. Doesn't matter. It's true. And they've got conviction within their heart. The Holy Spirit never lies. Don't apologize. We're all from Adam. And we sinned in Adam. And that transgression is passed on to all of us. They were tempted by the devil in the garden, in the guise of the wisest creature, a serpent. But it was the devil. And that's how sin entered. Man was given a command, Genesis 2:17, not to eat, and he did. He broke God's law. He broke God's command. Violated God's will. Sin consisted then in doubt of God's goodness and a denial of God's word. They were given everything, weren't they? wonderful, freely, delightful, and good. Only one thing was forbidden, and they broke God's law. Genesis 2:17. I can find it here. I know what it says. It's from every tree of the garden you may eat freely. That's then this is verse 16. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat from it you will surely die. I have given you everything, everything good, beautiful to the sight. Eat that. It's all free to you. But this one tree I forbid you. He called the knowledge of good and evil. Not a magical tree. It was not a poisonous tree. They broke God's law. At the interrogation, when God interrogates them, it's going to be in chapter 3. Such a sad, you know, we're familiar with it. I was actually enjoying this in the Septuagint, so that forces me to slow down and really take it in. And I just came out with naked and afraid. Naked and afraid. If I ever get to preach a sermon, I'll title it Naked and Afraid. If I ever write a book on man and the true nature of man, Naked and Afraid. We could have titled this Naked and Afraid. Verse 8, look what happens to them after they have disobeyed. So they made their loin coverings. And then it says in verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. How tragic. Nothing comes from hiding from God. Nothing good. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Boy, that's a pregnant question. Where are you? What a probing question. Not just that you're hiding out. There's something deeper. There's a deeper problem, isn't there? Where are you? You're not where you were before. You're not there when I walked into the garden before, every other time. I remember so fondly when the kids were little, I'd come home from work and they were just so eager to see Daddy. And I came home. Adam and Eve were just so eager to be with the Lord and walk with the Lord. And now they're hiding from the Lord. Something's wrong. Where are you? Verse 10, he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden." You notice he has to answer the Lord. Interesting. "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself." And God said, verse 11, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" They ate from the tree. "Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Man was not willing to subject his will to God's will. That's what sin consisted of. He doubted God's goodness. He denied God's word. And he was not willing to subject his will to God's will. "Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" We think about that. Sin, therefore, comprised the elements of the intellect, the will, and the affections. The intellect, since man doubted God's word, he did not believe God's promise of life. He did not believe God's threat of death. Did he? Sin involves the intellect. Also, sin involves the will. The will of man desired to be like God. One of the sinister things the devil did here is you will be like God. Man desired to be like God. We may include pride here as well, I think. To be like God is pride. To know as God knows, is a pride. Also, sin comprises the affections, for they had a wicked satisfaction in eating the forbidden fruit. And now, again, just briefly, sin's results. In the garden, of course, their immediate reaction is their eyes are opened. And yet, this is not a positive thing, is it? They don't like what they see. It's such an interesting thing they were about this nakedness. They were naked before. Verse 24 of chapter 2 says, the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They were naked before. Obviously, they could see that. Their eyes were opened before, but now they're opened in a different way. They don't like what they see. They don't like the nakedness. Or maybe they do like the nakedness, but it's an improper nakedness now. I remember preaching through Genesis 1 through 3, and probably should do that sometime, get back to that. But I remember years ago preaching through Genesis 1 through 3, and as soon as I mentioned nakedness, the kids were giggling. Just said, because already there's something wrong now about it. You don't talk about that. Whereas before, the man and his wife were naked and not ashamed. They had no sinful heart. They had no sinful affections. They had no improper thoughts. Now their eyes are open. They don't like what they see. They have knowledge of good and evil, but they can't handle it. And they certainly don't like it. Shame. And just in the description, you have shame where before there was no shame. Again, sinful thoughts are now here where there were no sinful thoughts before. Fear. You have shame. You have fear. It's what we see in this count. They're fleeing from God's presence. They're afraid of God now. They're hiding from God. And you know what? Men are still shameful. They're still fearful of God, and they're still hiding from God. And Adam and Eve hide in God's world that He's made. Isn't that amazing? Behind the trees which He created, as if they could. What a fall from knowledge. What an irony. They have the knowledge of good and evil, but they think they can hide from God. What a fall from knowledge. Well, in this so-called gain of knowledge. Men are still fearing the presence of God, and they're trying to deny God altogether as they wander in His world. It reminds me, and I don't want to trivialize this by bringing this up, but it reminded me of the old Far Side comic. And it makes the point. It's the fleas on the dog. You know, the picture is you zoom in and there's you don't know they're not a dog yet. They're two fleas and they're sitting, it looks like a tree. It's a dog hair. Okay, their dog hair is all around. And they're leaning, two fleas talking, they're leaning on the dog. And the one flea says to the other, you know, I don't really believe there is such a thing as a dog. You know, you're living on the dog. Your fleas on the dog, on the back of the dog. And that's the way it is with man. Here they are, living in God's world metaphysically. He's giving life and breath and all things to them. And they're like, you know, I really don't believe there is a God. Really? How do you exist? How do you think? You know, well, shame, fear, hiding, blame shifting. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? And what did Adam say? Let's go back to that. God said in 11, who told you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? He had an opportunity to confess, yes. He should have just said yes. But what does he do? He blame shifts. The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Adam blames his wife. And man has been doing that ever since. But what was the real terrible thing there? He blamed God. He blamed God, the woman you gave me. And then God turns to Eve, what have you done? She blame shifts, the serpent deceived me. Does blame shifting go on today? Oh, yeah. Watch yourself. It's amazing when I study these things how often now I you know, when you're studying the certain issue, like I'll be studying this and I'll see myself blame shifting all the time. Making excuses. Justifying behavior because of some circumstance. God, if you'd only given me this wife. God, if you'd only given me this husband. Right? He's too difficult. God, if you only put me in the different circumstances I'm in. And so we're not just blaming our husbands and our wives or the circumstances. We're blaming God. What has happened? He's lost the image of God. Not fully, but in true knowledge, in true righteousness. He has now a sinful nature. Man has become guilty and corrupt. Guilty and completely corrupt, totally depraved. And they're cast out of the garden, the paradise of pleasure. What it means, paradise of pleasure. Cut off from life. Cut off from true life with God and cursed. And that's what happened. And that's why things are the way they are. And that's why teenagers are killing. And that's why man is killing. That's why there's war and crime, et cetera, et cetera. And fig leaves don't fix that. Man's solutions don't save. God must make, in our account, what does he do? He makes coverings for them. He had to kill animals. First sacrifice, pointing to his sacrificial work in Christ. And through Jesus Christ, he will cover our sin and save us. That's God's saving solution. Well, let's pray. Father, as we get into this study, help us to approach the very heart of the matter, the very important things, the sinful nature and this break from your will and your law and your kingdom and this desire to exalt ourselves and exalt our kingdoms above yours. Forgive us and we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is our King and restores us to you and to obedience. Help us then to submit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.